Open it to Mark chapter 16 tonight. Mark chapter 16, verse 3. I figure after Sunday, you guys are all anxious to get your Bibles out and figure out if that's actually there or not. Mark chapter 16, starting at verse 3. It says, "And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid." Tonight we're going to get just a real quick preview into a little bit of what we're going to study on Sunday morning. We've been on Sundays walking through the final steps of Jesus to the empty tomb, and such an exciting thing. But I want you to know about these women who came to look for Jesus. The angel said to them, "Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth." In Luke's account, the angels would say to them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, for he is risen as he said." Now, I want you to get this. A lot of times when we look at these women and how they came to the tomb, if we're not careful, we can misapply. They didn't come there looking for a risen Savior. They didn't come there looking for the resurrected Savior. They didn't come there looking for the living Lord. They came there to anoint the dead body of Jesus. Their teacher, who had been crucified, they went there to try to open up the tomb and put more burial spices on him, because when Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, anointed the body of Jesus and wrapped him in the linen cloth and laid him in the tomb, they had to do it very quickly. And they tried to do the best they could according to the Jewish customs, but the women who stood back and watched, they wanted to see that Jesus had a proper burial, that everything was done the best that it could possibly be done for their master, their teacher, their rabbi. And so they weren't going there looking for a living Lord. They went there to anoint the body of their teacher who had been crucified. And I just want you to get this, because they came seeking Jesus, and it wasn't what they expected at all. They came seeking Jesus, and maybe they came for what we might consider the wrong reasons, but what they found was an empty tomb. What they found was something better than they had imagined. Now, let's be honest. Some of you may not have come here tonight looking for Jesus at all. Maybe some came just to find some eggs with some candy in them or something. I don't know. But sometimes when you come looking for something, you'll find more than you expected. Sometimes when you come looking for one thing, you'll find something else. Some people might be coming looking for Jesus, but for the wrong reasons. But I want you to get this. They didn't come with the right expectations. Maybe they didn't even come. I think they had noble reasons. But maybe some people come looking for Jesus for the wrong reasons. But even in that, he has grace for that. When we come and our expectations are not right, when we come looking for God and maybe our understanding of Scripture is not accurate, maybe our understanding of who God is and who Jesus is isn't exactly right, maybe when we're coming looking for Jesus because we've got problems in our life and we just are trying to get a Band-Aid to fix our problems, even when we come for the wrong reasons or with wrong understanding, God has grace for that. And you can come looking for Jesus for all the wrong reasons and with all the wrong understanding, but when you come seeking Jesus, you'll find more than you expected. They found the empty tomb, and even then they didn't understand. They were worried about it walking up to the garden early that morning before the sun even came up. They're talking about it. How are we going to get that stone out of the way? They're a small group of women, and this is a huge stone that's rolled in front of the door. There's no way they can do it. They need some men there, some others there to help them get the stone out of the way. And so they're shocked when they show up. Now, I want you to know something. The stone wasn't rolled away to let Jesus out. He had already resurrected. Listen, when Jesus resurrected, I want you to think about this in your mind. Do you remember when Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb? And he came wrapped in those grave clothes? And Jesus said, loose him and let him go? Well, when Lazarus was resurrected, he was resurrected in his physical body. He still had that dying body. But when Jesus resurrected, he's the first fruits of the final resurrection. He was resurrected in a glorified body. He didn't have to take those grave clothes off. He came right through them. They were still laying there when he rose from the grave. The angel, when he came down and rolled the stone away, that's not what let Jesus out. He was already gone. The stone wasn't rolled away to let Jesus out. It was rolled away to let you in. It was so that the witnesses could come in and see the empty tomb. Those eyewitnesses would know that Jesus rose again. They saw his grave clothes laying there. They saw all of those things, and they had that testimony, the testimony that we believe by today. There, those eyewitnesses who gave their lives, many of them, for the very Savior that they saw crucified, that they saw risen again. So the angel says, you seek Jesus. Now Jesus came seeking as well. Jesus came, he said, to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven. He became a human being. He lived a sinless life. He lived in obedience, absolute perfect obedience to God's word. Where Adam failed, Jesus succeeded. Where Adam fell short, the Lord Jesus Christ was victorious. And so when we look at Jesus, he came seeking. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, Jesus said that he is sending us, his followers, in the same way that the Father sent him. As the Father sent me, even so send I you. And as he came to seek the lost, he sends us to do the same. We're to be seekers, not just of Easter eggs. We're not only just to be seekers of Jesus, but let me make sure you understand, if you will seek Jesus, you can find him. But when you've found Jesus, or rather when Jesus has found you, he wants you to go and seek others. Go and seek others. We're to seek out the lost. Now, Jesus came to seek and to save. We can only do half of that. We can seek, but we can't save. But what we can do is seek and bring people to Jesus. Think about John the Baptist. He came to prepare the way for Jesus, to make straight paths, to prepare the way. He was sent to bring people to Christ. He said, he must increase, I must decrease. He lived his life in a way to bring people to Jesus. John the Baptist couldn't save anybody. He testified plainly, I'm not Messiah. I'm not him. But there's one coming behind me who is greater. And that's the way we need to live our lives, pointing people to Jesus, because he alone can save. Some people are seeking Jesus for a better life. Jesus didn't come to give you a better life now. Jesus did not come to give you a better life now. As a matter of fact, when you live for Jesus, your life may not get better at all. It's highly possible that if you strive to live for Jesus, your life may actually get worse. They that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Some people are trying to get a better life. Jesus didn't come to give you a better life now. He came to save you from your sins. He came to save you from your sins. He came to give eternal life to all who believe. All right, right here. Ready, ready? We're all sinners. Now, it's pretty easy for us to identify the sins in other people. God's word isn't a microscope for you to examine other people's sins. God's word is a mirror to show you your own. See, I figured this out about myself. I'm really quick to judge people. Sometimes I think it's my spiritual gift. I'm judgmental. But I'm pretty sure when I actually read my Bible, that wasn't one of the things that was listed as a spiritual gift. I think it's really easy for us to be critical of other people, to see what's wrong with them, to see how they think wrong, how they talk wrong, how they dress wrong, how they act wrong, how they don't do the things, they don't handle things in their life the way that you think they should. Because if you're honest, most of you are like me. There's your way, and then there's the wrong way. But I'm here to tell you that we are all sinners, that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous among us, no, not one. And Christ, listen to me, he died for the ungodly. And I know that sometimes when you've been in church a while, you start to think that everybody else is the ungodly and you're something else. But I'm telling you that we are all ungodly without Christ. And he came to die for sinners. He didn't come to give you a better life. Now he came to give you life. And your life here and now may not be better. The more you live for Jesus, it may be actually harder. It may be more difficult. But you've got heaven to look forward to. You have eternity with Christ to look forward to. You get to worship around the throne of Jesus forever and ever. And let me just say as a side note, you can rejoice, you can sing songs all you want to about streets of gold and pearly gates, but I promise you, none of us are going to be looking at the pavement when we're in heaven. None of us are going to be turning around looking at those pearly gates. We're going to be looking at Jesus. And we're going to be worshiping Jesus. And we're going to do it forever and ever because he alone is worthy. And he's what it's all about. He died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And I just want to tell you tonight, if you would seek Jesus, you can find him. He's not far. In Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Paul's preaching at Mars Hill. And I want you to look at verse 24. Acts 17, 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Amen. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Listen to this, verse 27. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. God, who created everything, has made himself near. He's made himself available. The scriptures tell us that Jesus said that if he was lifted up, he would draw all men to himself. And Jesus Christ was lifted up. He died on the cross for your sins. This thing wasn't done in a corner. It was done for the whole world to know. And he's not afar off. He's near. And if you would seek Jesus, you could find him tonight. It maybe your understanding isn't exactly right. And maybe even your motives aren't exactly right. But he loves you. And he wants to save you. And he wants to make you his own. And he literally gave his life so that that could happen. You just have to come to him. Verse 28 there in Acts 17 says, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Turn from your unbelief. Turn from your sin, turn from your idolatry, turn from all of those things and turn to God. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 31 says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. See, it all comes back to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And God told his people through the prophet Jeremiah, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Israel had turned away from God. He had allowed them to go through punishment, through captivity. But he said, if you'll come back to me, I have good thoughts for you. And I want to bring you back to myself. But you have to search for me with your whole heart. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. I think there's a lot of implications to that. But considering the fact that Proverbs was written from a father to a son, I think it has a lot to do with how early in life. A lot of young people here tonight. I want to admonish you and plead with you to seek God now. Don't wait till you're old. You might not get old. Don't wait till tomorrow. You might not have tomorrow. Today is the day to seek the face of the Lord, to trust in Christ. I'm going to ask our musicians to come and ask you to stand with me. Those women came seeking Jesus. The angel said, he's not here. He's risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And then Matthew's account says, they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy and did run to bring his disciples word. When they heard that Jesus had risen from the grave, they were afraid, they were astonished, they were amazed, but they were also filled with joy. The Savior they thought was dead, the Lord, the teacher they thought was dead, had now become a risen Savior. And now they wanted to run. They still didn't understand it all. They still didn't get it. They just knew this. The angel said he was risen, and with great joy they ran to tell others. And listen, can I just say, if you believe in Jesus, we ought to go with great joy tonight to tell others. I serve a risen Savior. And if you'll seek him, you can find him. Let's sing. What number?